Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to everybody. Good morning. I feel like I'm on Facebook and YouTube this morning. Come on in the room. Good morning. I got grandbabies all around me this morning, so you may hear some other sounds in the environment, but we're going to do our best to get the job done this morning. They're used to me doing what I do, so they may give me the grace to go ahead and get it done. Good morning. Good morning. I'm opening up the lines this morning. Good morning. Father, we thank you this morning for life. We thank you for another opportunity to do the things that you have given us to do, the things that you've called us to do. It's your purpose for the earth. We understand the purpose is the reason why we are persons. And so we're thankful this morning that you have given to each of us your purpose that you have desired for us to do. There's a reason why you put us here. And so we want to actualize that reason that you put us here in the earth. Father, we thank you for rest. We thank you for all of the things that you provide for us to be reinvigorated, to be renewed, to be refreshed. We thank you, Father, that this is the hour that you're calling your sons into a rest, not the rest that we're not doing anything, but a rest where we're relying on you instead of our own understanding, instead of our own concepts and ideas and ways of doing things. You're allowing us to tap into the understanding that it is you that's working in us and through us, both to will and to do for your good pleasure. It's something that you're pleasured by when you're doing a work in us. And so we want to move out of your way and allow you to do the things that you desire to do in us. We want to move out of your way and allow you to move the way that you want to move and do what you want to do. We thank you this morning for authority. We thank you for power. We thank you for dominion. We thank you for recognizing this power, who you are, and that you reveal yourself to us as you reveal yourself to us. That you are also allowing us to identify who we are in you. That's a key for us today. If we identify our place, that if we identify that we're in you and you are in us, then we'll speak from a different place. We'll live from a different place. We will war from a different place. We're not warring from outside of you. We're warring from inside of you. So that's guaranteed win because you're with us. And anytime that you are with the people, they are winning. Anytime you're with us, we win. So we're thankful today that you are with us and that your promise is to never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your patience this morning. Your patience with us, that you're an understanding, Father, that you understand the way that we take, that you consider where we came from when you're dealing with us. You consider our way. I'm thinking about this morning, prophets, when the master said to Peter, he said, Simon, son of Barjona, that gives us the understanding that often when we're being dealt with, the Father is considering where we come from. He knows where we were raised, who raised us, you know, what the information was that was given to us. And even if we're coming into, revelation, we're still fighting and shedding things that were given to us. And so he describes, or he begins to have a discussion with Peter, the master does. He says, son of our journey. In other words, where I understand where we come from. You know, your ancestor, your forefather, Jonah, was a runner. He was a runner. So I understand what's in you. Stand it down. I understand what's in you. I understand what your propensity is, what your capacity is, and I know how you're going to move. He let him know way ahead of time. So I'm so thankful this morning that the Father knows us. He knows the way that we take. He understands how we're moving. There's something that he's working in us to bring us into this place. And so we can look at the sons that have gone before us, even as we're looking at Peter. And we're looking at the fact that he denied the master. You know, he denied him. But he came back. He had a bounce back. He had a return. The comeback. He had a comeback, you know. He was able to come back from that. So something about when you're called, you can come back, you know. And I'm just thankful for that this morning. There is a frequency of sons this morning that the Father has downloaded in us. And I'm just thankful for that sound. because that's going to bring us back to where we need to be. Is that sound that he's given us, that word, that identification, that understanding that he's given us, that's going to cause us to come back. As we're seeing him, the word says that as we see him, as he is, we will become. And that's one of the things that's really been being impressed upon my heart. We've been talking about that a lot. It's really probably one of my predominant messages as an apostle is this identification piece and this becoming and this returning. I believe that's one of my mantles is that place. One of my messages is that place. And it's been a lot of conversation around that with me and the Father lately, this becoming. You know, a lot of people are. And I started with in the prayer this discussion about praying from a place, you know, the place that people are praying from being often the wrong space. We're praying as if we're connected, you know, praying as if we're acting and do that he's not aware of or our need he's not aware of. But he's in us. And we are in him. And that's the thing that we identify with is a partnership. We are together. We are unified. And this is the same way that he dealt with his son when he sent him into the earth. And the son said to us, turned around and said to all of mankind that will follow him, that this is the way to the Father, the way that I've shown you. You know, a lot of times, and it's really difficult at times for me to try to explain it. So I'm really seeking the Father for words to really describe or to explain this dichotomy, you know, this master paradigm. And really what it is people want to make him something, but they don't want to become what he was. And that's the key right there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That was an easy way to say that. We would rather look to him as being something and try to, you know, put him in this place when he was that, but his purpose of being that was to show us a way. And so one of the ways that we can decipher that is because the Father has given us his word, and the word has described to us the fact that the first Adam did not complete his assignment, that the first Adam, that the man that he formed, breathed into, placed in this garden place, this place of perfection, right? He didn't complete his assignment. He didn't do the thing that he was purposed to do. And oftentimes I think people are confused because they were like, you know, well, he knew that was going to happen. Well, he's God, and why doesn't he stop things, and why doesn't he do this, that, and the other? But the one thing that we forget, and as we're coming back to this conversation about the psychology of the sin, when they were supposed to city go and take the first place, instead they went and began to spy it out. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning, but I want to go back to this place where these reasonings, why things are moving like they're moving. We have these concepts, you know. They didn't go up and take it. They wanted to do a thing the way they had always done it, and this is the danger. You know, we get in these places where we're thinking that, oh, it was done this way before. You know, this way, this is the way he's always dealt with me, or this is my gift set. This is what I know about myself. We have to continually be learning not only of him, but of us. As we're learning of him, we're learning of us. And so it's very, very clear, and it can be very telling that when we don't know a whole lot about ourselves, we're not spending a lot of time with him, because he's a vast Father. He's not in one, you know, just we can't put him in a box. And the reality is that you are as he is. He breathes, you know. So going back to Adam, when he breathed into Adam's nostrils, and the word says that man became a living soul, he had an expectation for Adam. And I want to talk about expectation just a little bit this morning as well. But why didn't he stop it? Why didn't he do it? Because he created us like himself. And that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. There's nobody that's controlling Yah. Nobody controls him. He's got a mind of his own. He does what he does. He's in charge. So what he did was he in charge of all things, heavens and earth, and he said, I'm going to create or image an image of myself in another place, and I'm going to give them authority. He said, let us make man in our own likeness image and let them have. He goes through dominion, authority, power, you know, this ability to recreate, you know, to replenish, to subdue. We go over all things. I'm putting things to this planet. You have to be a librarian. You're going to have to go and get that. Look at that thing, dig that out, just to have the conversation, right? All of these things that I'm coming at you is a conversation, because let us make man in and of itself. A lot of people think, you know, that that's, you know, what they call the Trinity. No, that's the whole conversation in and of itself. You have to understand that the Father does just as he expects us to do. He lives by the same rule that he's given. And this is why his rule should be followed. This is why his rule can be accepted, because it's proven. It's a proven method. It works. He's not a hypocrite. He does what he created. He does it. He communicates with a body. He does not separately make decisions, even to the fact that he says, you know what, I'm not going to do anything in the earth except I first talk to my servant prophets. I'm not going to just randomly do things because I've put managers in place to do a thing. So this is the same expectation. And that word expectation is a big word this morning. Expectation is a big word, as well as, what's the other word that I said this morning was a big word for us? Becoming. Expectation and becoming. Those are big words for the sons this morning. I need you to hear me. Expectation and becoming are very big words for us this morning. I was talking to my daughter the other day as I was doing my walk, and it's so funny just thinking about when you come into this place of maturity, you start maturing, right? Things start coming out about life that's always there. You just know that it was there because you weren't mature enough to see it. And it's so funny because I was sharing with her that, you know, there's some things in business differently now in one of my businesses. And I began to do a search in my email client of, you know, just a specific thing. And when I put that in my search engine in my email client, all of this stuff was bombarding, filling that space going back for years. And the thing about it is that we're following, as sons, we're following what the Father's instructions or directions are for us. But often we're not identifying or even asking him what our expectation should be. So here I was with things in my inbox for years now. I've been, you know, trying to connect and trying to connect these dots and do some things, but he had been giving me instruction and direction on how to move, and I'd been moving, but I had not been conversing with him about this movement and what my expectations should be in that movement. That's a key for you in prayer in this season. You're going to be hearing a lot of things to do. You're going to be receiving a lot of instructions and directions, but the thing that is invaluable about the place of prayer is a powerful weapon. It's a powerful place. It's like this secret place that you can walk into, get all of the intel. You know, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about spies, right? It's a secret place that you can go into. You get all the intel about a place, a space, a people, you know, things, this mission. And you get to go out into the world knowing some things about where you're going. Now, there are going to always be some, you know, things that I just like, you know, things that you're not aware of. But the beauty of that is that he already knows about those things. And so inside of the direction or the instruction is the protection and the provision for whatever you're not aware of, but he is. And so as I was talking to her about this thing, I was saying, you know what? The thing that we're missing is this expectation. So what came to mind was Elijah's servant. You remember Elijah had a conversation with Ahab and the nation. He said, you know what? There's going to be no dew nor rain at my word. In other words, it's not going to rain. No dew is going to be on the earth. Nothing. It's going to be dry for 3 years, for the space of 3 years. At my word, the rain will return, right? Well, the Father gives Elijah a word for the return of the rain. And so he sends his servant down to the waters. He says, go down to the waters and tell me what you see. He's saying, you know, the rain is coming. I need you to go down and identify this thing. The servant goes and he comes back and he says, I don't see anything. Like there's nothing tangible, nothing visible. I don't have an inkling of this thing that you're talking about. There's no proof of it, right? There's no proof of it. And so Elijah says to him, go back. He sends him 7 times. Go back, go back, go back. The servant comes back. And the 7th time he says something that is so powerful to me. And it made me consider some things differently. And this is how we get to this place or this space of expectation. There's a lot of revelation, a lot of understanding that the Father has given concerning prayer over the years. And we're going to complete that manual sometime here soon, because I think it's going to be invaluable. But this place right here is the place of the expectation. Often we're listening to the Father tell us about the thing. So we are, when we are functioning, our expectation is the thing, but not that which produces the thing, not the proof of the thing, if that makes sense. So the servant is going by his own understanding. He's going down to the water. And we know that when there's going to be a massive storm or a deluge, what are you looking for? You automatically know by a black sky, right? There's a lot of darkness in the sky. So automatically you're like, oh, it's going to storm. Well, the Father doesn't always do things the way that we think that he should do them. And so the expectation, the reason why we have to pray for the understanding or to be able to identify the expectation is because he's always doing things differently. He'll do an old thing a new way. That's why it's a new thing. So we have to be very aware of that. The servant says, when he comes back the last time, I saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. Now, when I began to identify the study of these words that he was saying, the words, I saw a cloud the size of a man's hand, in that conversation is the word insignificant. He's saying to Elijah, just understanding the words that were used, the way that it was translated, I saw an insignificant cloud. The cloud was probably already there. It was always there, actually. It's just that he didn't identify with that being the thing that the Father was going to use to release this rain upon the earth in that magnitude. He didn't see that cloud as significant connected to a deluge. And that's the danger of not having an expectation, because the thing that you're asking for, the thing that you're waiting for, the thing that you are talking to the Father about has already been done. It's already been done. First of all, you're not praying from outside of him. You're praying from inside of him. A powerful word for you that's going to give you a powerful position in prayer. You're praying from inside of the relationship, not from outside of it, okay? And you must deal with your expectation. You're going to have to identify what it is that you should be seeing or looking at that proves, right, that the Father is saying this to you. And when you have that proof, you don't need the thing yet. You understand what I'm saying? When you have the proof of what the Father has said, you don't need the manifestation yet. You don't have to have the manifestation of the thing in order to move, because you have to understand that it's not until you move that manifestation even comes. So we're waiting on the Father to do the thing. And he's saying, I've given you significant proof. of what I have spoken to you. And first, I need you to move and acknowledge what I'm saying. See, our movement is our acknowledgement. And so this is what was the issue with the children of Israel when it came to moving into that promised place. They had moved into all kinds of spaces, taken over all kinds of lands, dispossessed all kinds of nations. But when it came to the place that he had designed for them to live in, this environment, to have this space to rule from, they were not capable of it because they didn't understand who they were. They didn't understand who they were. They refused to identify he was and to understand the authority that he had given. So just like a lot of other sons in particular, they were functioning as the identity, you know, identity that for Adam, they were functioning in that identity. And at the end of the day, your expectation is everything in this season. You're going to have to identify what the Father is saying to you. When you identify that it is him, you're going to have to begin to trust him and move on what he's speaking to you, because there's a lot of things that are connected to what he's spoken. There are a lot of doors that are connected to what he's spoken. The danger is that we think that what we're doing is so much more important, that there's something that we have to do that can't be accomplished any other way. It has to be done this way. It has to be done at this time. It has to be done in this space. It, you know, and when we get caught up in that, those are the demonic distractions, the diabolic distractions that send us into these places of delay. Are you hearing me? Those diabolic distractions put us in places of delay. And then we're looking at the Father like, well, I'm waiting on you to do. And he's like, I'm waiting on you to move. I've already done what I said I was going to do. The phrase that I've been looking at over the last couple of days. Yes, honey.
Will you come?
Outside. I'm on the radio. Mm. Be quiet, okay? Mm. Okay. The thing that I've been looking at over the last couple of days is this phrase, goodness and mercy. When I saw that in my email, when I saw those things populating for years back and recalled all of the things that the Father had told me to do and realized that I had not identified with what he said do, I was just doing what he said, all I could think of was that goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. As a son, there's a setup. There's already a design. There's already a provision that's made, and we just have to identify with what the Father is saying to us, following the instructions and having an expectation for what's already been done. He's not speaking from a place where he's got to do something. That's the confusion also that a lot of people have. He's not man. You know, like man says, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and they got to go and do it. He's not man. He's already done it. He already went and done it, okay? It's already done. Before you were formed, before you were born, this thing was already done. And so really the objective here is that you begin to catch up with, that you begin to align with what's already been done, you know? And that's a beautiful place to realize that the thing that you're asking for, the expectation that you have, or the, what's the word, the anticipation that you have, the desire that you have, if you can identify with the fact that he's given you what to desire, then, you know, you can be confident in the fact that if he's given you what to desire, then he is the one that is working in you, if you're allowing that. Now, if you're not allowing that, because remember the scripture says, according to the power that's working in us, right? There's a scripture that deals with the power that's working in us, which is still his power, right? But there is also a responsibility on our part in the relationship to allow that power to work in us. You know, us not just trying to do it on our own or try to figure it out. A lot of times we're spending too much time figuring out things that have already been worked out. All it requires is us to move in it until to begin to go in the direction that the Father has already described or said to us. We feel like we need a full explanation. You know, a play-by-play. When I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking about Abraham, who didn't need all of that. And the word says that it was counted unto Abraham as righteousness. So your righteousness is not you knowing everything to do. It's you doing everything that you know to do. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Righteousness is right standing with the Father. It's not only right standing with him, but it's right standing with fellow men, right? So it's that position that he puts you in. That's the proper position for you to function from, for you to deal with people from, and to deal with him from. Righteousness, it was counted unto Abraham for righteousness because he obeyed the instruction, not because he knew everything about it. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't have a map. He didn't have a full explanation and description of this, you know, a layout, a survey of the land. He didn't survey the land, none of that. He heard what the Father said. He moved from a comfortable place to an uncomfortable place. An uncomfortable place. What is this uncomfortable? An uncomfortable place to, no, he moved from a comfortable place to an uncomfortable place, okay? To follow the instruction. That's where N is coming from, is this instruction. To follow the instruction that was given to him, and that's how he arrived in the first place. But don't forget, Abraham made it to the promised land. Stop, don't forget. He made it to the promise. He was there. He was living in it. Not only was he living in it, he dealt with the distractions that caused him to birth things outside of that promise that would later be a distraction to him living in his promise. And he had to move those things out of his way. He had to do it, not the Father. So you can stop praying if the Father moves things out of your way when it's your responsibility to do what he told you to do. That means you're going to have to be a big girl or a big boy and move these things that are distracting you out of your own way. You know? You're going to have to get up and move it out of your own way. You're going to have to speak to it. You're going to have to speak to those mountains in this season. You're going to have to speak to those things that are objecting you. You're going to have to speak to them, not, okay, Father, I need you to move this and I need you to move that out of my way so I can get you to me to do it all. I need to trust me, Father, and I need to ask you, Father, I need you to trust me, and I need you to do what I'm telling you to do. You know how that works, right? If you're working a job, there's a job description, there's an assignment, then if there's something opposing that assignment, you have to deal with that thing so that you can get the job done. You not come to the completion of the assignment or the job until you first dealt with whatever the objections are or the things that are attempting to prevent you from accomplishing that assignment. And so this is really important as we're going into this discussion that we begin to deal with ourselves. I love that the word so often would say, be mindful, you know, be aware of yourself. Be mindful of yourself lest you do this. You know, you got to be aware of yourself. You got to be mindful. Pay attention to how you're moving and what you're doing. You got to do that. You got to pay attention. So I'm just thankful this morning for that. I am in a space of moving, and so this is why we weren't here yesterday. But for the next 19 days that we're here, understand, I have no problem saying the next 19 days that we're here because anything could happen where I may have to come on another day. I'm not necessarily saying that it'll be an everyday thing right now, but if that's my goal, you know, that's what I strive for every day. That's what I believe, you know, is a place for me in this season. However, things do happen. So yesterday I was in moving, and I, just to be quite honest with you, this is going to take me into another conversation. I was absolutely exhausted. I was tired. I was tired thinking about the move. Anybody ever moved before? Then you know what all of that takes, you know? I was tired and exhausted just thinking about the move. But one of the things that's going to be really crucial for sons in this season is that you identify with rest. There are times when you're going to need to step back and you're going to need to replenish so that you can run again. You're going to need to replenish so that you can do whatever it is that you've been commanded to do, and you can do it well. This is the thing that was an issue for Elijah after he dealt with for 800 prophets of Baal, you know, or 480 prophets of Baal. After he dealt with hundreds of these prophets, he didn't go to rest. He just went on a journey. There was no, you know, mental identity about this resting place, but he needed to really go rest because this is how he put, this is how he got in that place or in that space where, one, he heard from a messenger of Jezebel, who she's a non-issue. That spirit is a non-issue for your son. You know why? Because you're not going to allow it, one, to speak to you, and two, you're going to identify with rest before you start running the key. Because if you identify with rest, then you'll have the refreshment that you need to ward off whatever you need to ward off, to keep at bay, whatever you need to keep at bay. You'll have that space. Rest is important, y'all. You need to understand that today. Just as much as you identifying and having an expectation, all of that is very important. Praying from within him and not without him, you still going to need rest. You're going to need rest. Not only physical rest, but you're going to need to rest in who he is in this season, because that is your proof of what's to come, resting in who he is. Okay. I'm going to open up the line this morning. If you'd like to share, you can. Share whatever the Holy Spirit is giving you this morning. I'm not dealing with my notes this morning because I'm trying to still get kind of settled. Go ask your mother, I told you. I'm still trying to get settled here, so I'm not going to seek to hold you guys very long over the next couple of days. But we are going to connect. We are going to connect. I am going to share. The line is open for a moment if you'd like to share. If not, I've got a couple more things I'd like to share. Then you have to wait till she wakes up, okay? Okay. I've got a couple more things I'll share if you don't have anything to share. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, discusses that the blessing of Yah makes rich.
And sorry. I think I'm going to share something right quick.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was out moving stuff to the front for the trash, right? And I stepped on something. I felt this pierce in my foot, like something, you know, I felt something. But it just felt like a little whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was picking up some glass at the time that I felt it, right? Mm-hmm. So then I'm wearing flip-flops, so you know how that is. It's not very good for that kind of stuff anyway. So yeah. I lift up my foot, piece of glass sticking. That's what I felt. Mm. Yes, I'm like, my Lord is so good. I'm like, that could have went and been a serious cut. But I was just thinking about how he said he'll protect you from danger seen and unseen, you know.
Yeah.
I'm saying I'm not bleeding at all, but it was a nice piece of glass sticking through that shoe.
Wow.
I'm not bleeding at all. It just felt like a little...
A prick. You
almost like, yeah. But I'm saying I don't see no blood or nothing, and I had to pull that glass out of my shoe.
Wow.
And I just wanted to talk about how he protects us from dangers seen and unseen.
I love that, but the thing is that you had an assignment. You were on an assignment. Mm-hmm. So you really, what you're stating is going right back to what we were discussing. You know, you were on an assignment. Your assignment was to clean something up. And you cleaning that thing up, something came up. That's what we were just talking about. There are things that we're not going to be aware of that are going to spring up during an assignment. You know? But the thing that we can trust in, the thing that we can be assured of, is that even while we're on the assignment, if it's something that springs up that we are unaware of, that protection is there. That provision is there. It's in our obedience to the assignment. It's in us moving in that thing. In that movement is protection and provision. You know, goodness and mercy, right? Following us.
And as you were talking, I thought about another thing that happened to me. You know, I'm on assignment over here, and my father's taking care of my father, right?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, you know, do what I need to do to take care of him. So I wake up yesterday, my hand is just really hurting. It almost hurts to pick something up. That's how bad, you know, so I wrapped it up. most of yesterday, and I just kept working that muscle because I'm like, I done did too much with this hand, you know, because I'm trying to hold with one hand and do stuff with the other hand. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I need this hand to be open because this is how I make my money. I need this hand to be fine before these clients start coming. So I wrapped it, you know, and kept working it yesterday. Today my hand is fine. Today my hand is fine. So another testimony. That's like you, like what you said, when you're on assignment, when you're doing what you know that he's called you to do, he'll make provisions for you.
And protect you because things are going to spring up. But it's all about how you see the thing that springs up. It's all about what you're saying about it. Because the adversary, all he's really looking for is agreement. And I don't think a lot of people really understand or identify with that place. He's looking for agreement. He can't do anything in the earth except he comes in a covenant with somebody. He has to find companionship to do his work. So lest we've been companions of adversaries, you know, in another season, lest we've been companions of our own devils, you know, because we came into agreement with those things that were for the purpose of deterring us, stopping us, delaying us, you know, destroying our destiny, right? Their purpose was that. And my daughter said something so powerful, I think, day before yesterday. Yeah, it was the day before yesterday. She said, she was looking at some things, and she said, Ma, she said, your enemies was fighting over who was going to destroy you first. That's crazy. Like, you had enemies, like, you know, visible enemies, and everybody was fighting to find a position to be the first one, you know, to be the one that did the destruction. And it's just being able to see that and look at that and see the hand of Yah in all of that and know that no matter how many enemies it was, what their plan was for me, it was not going to work. You understand? But it took me coming into identification. It took me coming into a place of maturity to identify with those things, to know, one, or begin to identify or understand, because we still don't understand all that we are. So when I say I know who I am, I'm not saying I know the fullness of who I am, because I know who I am for this season. I have a vision for other seasons, but I know who I am for this season, and I can see the Father taking me in some directions, right? But I don't know the totality of me, okay? So I've got to be prepared for whatever else the Father's going to say concerning me to me, you know? People get stuck, you know, in a way. Okay, I've been doing this for 40 years. This is all I know to do. And he's like, you're more than that. Let me prove it to you. So he proves it to you that you're more than just what you thought you were. And you're still struggling with the fact that you're not just what you thought you were. You know, so then it becomes uncomfortable again for him to show you the next thing, because you're like, okay, well, I'm getting comfortable with what you're showing me I am now, that you're showing me something different. He said, well, I need you to go over here. You're like, wait a minute. Well, okay, I'm this, I'm that. He said, and you the other thing too. You this, that, and the other thing, because there's no boundary.
Right.
You know, because of doing what I need to do in you in order for you to fulfill your purpose. You know? You're fulfilling your purpose.
Yeah, you were talking, I was thinking about the scripture that says, no weapon formed shall prosper.
Absolutely.
Like the weapon might be formed, but it won't prosper. Like they're trying it, but it ain't gonna prosper.
That phrase, you tried it. He tried it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's the goal. And the adversary is always going to do his job. He's always going to do his part. He's always going to do his job. And instead of people complaining about what the adversary does, do your job. Because if you're doing your job, then he's out of work concerning you. He's out of work concerning you if you're doing your job. Now, if you're not doing your job, then you got plenty to complain about, because he's just kind of running roughshod. He's kind of doing his thing, right? But if you're doing your job, then you can spend less time complaining about what he's doing, because he's out of business. That doesn't mean he's not going to do what he does through people and in people, but that ain't got nothing to do with us, really. We allow ourselves to be more impacted by things that we don't really have to be impacted by, but we're learning. We're learning and we're growing, you know. I had something happen to me the other day. I blessed somebody, Prophet, and I blessed them, and they were complaining about me blessing them. They were complaining. They had an issue with some other things that didn't have nothing to do with the blessing, and it was just trivial. It was menial. It didn't have nothing to do with them. But then they had been blessed. You would think that if a person's been blessed, they have no complaints. But what that showed me, now that I'm thinking about it again, is how the Father deals with us and how he'll do a thing and prove a thing to us, and we still yet have a complaint.
Right. And as you were talking, you know, I keep thinking about things that have happened just recently to me. When you mentioned that brought to mind, which I had thought about it even be, you know, as I kept talking about different things that have happened just recently, I just experienced, because I'm planning, you know, to get together for my daughter. And so, you know, I'm talking to my cousins because they're going to do the food and stuff. So I'm like, okay, well, they haven't given me a price, and they're adding stuff on. And I'm like, okay, well, what is this going to cost? Because my cousin's in business. She does this.
Right.
So I call her, and I'm like, okay, well, what's the bill like? You know, I need to know what I'm going to have to pay you, right? And so my girlfriend, you know, I'm telling her all the stuff that they're going to have. She's like, that's too much food. That's too much food. You need to find out what they're going to charge you. They're going to give you a big bill. So I call her and I ask her about the bill. She was like, we're not charging you anything. She said, I'm only charging you for the food. You know, and like what you just said, I was like, no, this is our business. No, you can't just, you know, this is what I'm telling her. No, this is your business. You can't just do that, you know. So then she started telling me, she was like, every time we've called you, you've been there for us, you know, because I sing. And I've sang, you know, for a number of funerals for their fam, you know.
Yes.
She's family to me, but every time they call me for a funeral, I sing and I don't charge. And that's what she told me. She said, you've never charged us. And she was like, so it's our turn. It's our turn, and we got you.
Yeah.
I was blessed. I was like, oh. And I was like, I hadn't even thought about that. I said, it didn't even cross my mind about me singing for y'all. You know, but it is true. I have sung a number of times for them. So it was just a blessing. I'm like, well, thank you, Father.
And guess what? Like she said, it's her business. She can do what she want to do. But that's the thing that we miss about the Father. It's his business.
Mm-hmm.
He can do it like he want to do it. You know what I mean? So we just need to identify with that. You had to ask her, what's the cost? What are we doing? You know? And that goes back to, see how simple that is. He uses those practical things. And that's why we miss things, because religion teaches you to be deep. Like, it needs to be something that's so far-fetched. You know, like, you can't just be healed. You need to jump back three seats and do a back bend. And then, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Jump a three steps and say Jesus, and then you're going to be healed. You know, and I'm not saying that there are not, you know, things that the Father may say to you that may seem a little awkward at times. But I'm saying how man trivializes things that the Father has made simple for us. You know what I mean? It's his business. He can do what he wants to do with it. And if you identify with that, then you can just ask. It's like running a regular business. You know, there's inventory. You know, all of that, right? Got to keep a record. Remember he told us about keeping records? You know, keeping the score.
Right.
Keeping records, that's all important, because that helps you identify where he is and what he's doing, you know, that you do it that way. So, yeah, that's the way this morning. That's where we're at. That's what we're on. That expectation is very important. And becoming. You know, a lot of times we're talking about it more than we're being it. And that's the key, you know, that we become what he's saying. Not just that we talk about it, because a lot of people think that if they discuss it, then they've done it. And that's not true. Mm-hmm. It's a false identity. It's a false sense of accomplishment as well. Even if you read it and you, because you know it, doesn't mean that you've accomplished it or done it. You know, you feel good about what you read. You feel good about the information that you got now. Great. Now you got to actualize it in order for the fruit of that thing to happen for you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
it goes back to that whole selfie thing, the self-help, the self-made this, you know, the self-discipline. You don't have none. You don't even know what that is as a person. You need to identify the discipline. Once you identify a discipline, you're going to get in that discipline because it's what you believe. So because you believe it, you become it. You know, that's different than trying to control yourself. You know, it's a lot of things that sound synonymous or similar to what the Father has designed, but it's not. And it's that little piece that's not that creates that darkness, you know, that creates that that dichotomy of darkness. And then you wind up in these circles and you don't understand how to get out. You know, you wind up in that turnabout, you know, the little things that they have in cities. We have them all over Michigan, the roundabout.
Right.
You don't know where the heck to get off at, you know. If you go the wrong way, you're going all the way out the direction and you got to turn around and get back in the roundabout to get off at the right thing. You ever been listening to your GPS when it said, go in the roundabout and at the second turn, make a right? You're like, which one is the second turn? Is it counting from when I came in? Is it the next one or is it the one after that? You know?
Right.
You can identify the language of the GPS and you can make the right turn. It's the same thing, you know? But if you're acquainted with that GPS, then you know what it's talking about. You know how it speaks. You know how it directs. So you'll be able to follow because, you know, okay, it's speaking from this position, the next one. Or from this position, two after.
As you were talking about the becoming and all the different things that he has, you know, like growing into, like, okay, this and this and this, I thought about, I was talking about the butterfly.
Yes.
Right, you know, because I'm saying you don't know what that butterfly is going to look like when it come out of that cocoon, but it's changing.
You know what's funny? I saw a caterpillar the other day, and that's funny that you mentioned that because it brought it right back to me. I was going into my hotel. I think it was the day before I was going to check out, and it was a bright canary yellow caterpillar. I mean, just furry, lots of fur, and had maybe one or two black spikes out of it, like black strands. But it was canary yellow, and it was just crawling along the side of the building right near the door I was going to go into. And I was frustrated because I didn't have my camera. I didn't have my phone. I didn't have nothing. I wanted to catch it. I had nothing. But then I thought about it. Leave it alone. You can't catch it. It's on its way somewhere. It's got
to right. Look, it go from crawling to flying.
Listen, you got to let it be because it's got to get where it's going. Man, I was so excited and frustrated all at the same time because, you know, we've been taught to catch those kind of things so we can enjoy the beauty of it, right? But we haven't been taught to respect that kind of thing so that it can do what it's born to do, so it can become what it was born to become. Man, when you think about
as
how
you were talking,
interrupted yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. My cousin, you know, you can buy kits where you watch them go from caterpillar into cocoon into butterflies. My cousin just started one of those.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I have to ask her how it's going.
Okay. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. But
I forgot where she told me. It was somebody else that was doing it, and she decided to do it too.
Oh, wow.
You know, just to see. Your grandkids probably would enjoy it.
They would love it. Yeah, they would love it. You got to be taught to respect certain things, and that's the issue with us, you know, that we don't respect the decision of Yah. We don't respect how things are supposed to go because we want it to go our way. That's the honest to goodness truth. If it doesn't go our way or the way that we have planned in our mind, then we automatically see it as opposition. And it's not opposition often. It's just the Father objecting your way so he can show you his way so you can have that provision that he's calling you to, you know? But if you never see it his way and come into his way of doing the thing, then you will always be wondering about provision. You know, I'm not wondering about provision in this season. Now, I'm uncomfortable about some things because there's some things that I'm doing on my own that I've not done by myself before. That's challenging. You understand? I've always been connected. I've always been married and moving, not moving and by myself. So moving differently.
But look, what did the father say? You what you worried about it for? I'm paying for it.
You married. Listen, that's what I'm getting.
Married to him.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting mm-hmm. because you pick one. You know, whatever one you pick, I'm paying for it, so it don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and that can be boggling to your mind when it's not a place. Here's the thing. It's not that he's never done a thing before, but it was where I was and how I was connected that made it different for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wild because it's like, no sweat. He did it before, he'll do it again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so yesterday, my head was hurting. I don't get headaches. I know this was just me being exhausted, just being tired and emotionally drained and all of these things, you know? I spent a lot of money yesterday, you know, and over the last maybe the month or so, a lot of money has been spent. It ain't mine, it's his. And I have to keep reminding myself, he got you,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
He got you. Yeah, you spent. Yeah, you did. And it took me back to when I first went to college, right? And I cashed in all of my bonds my grandma gave me because they were going to be using my books and supplies and things I needed. A lot of money. And when I got to the counter at the bookstore, I picked up all my books for my classes. When I got to the counter and she said the price, I had a checkbook in my hand. And she gave me a pen, Prophet, and I couldn't even write. My hand was literally shaking. When she said the price, I couldn't even sign my name on. I couldn't even write the check, Prophet. My hand was literally shaking.
Mm-hmm.
It was shaking so bad I couldn't write the check. It was a new thing, you know. That was a new
mm-hmm.
thing. Me spending that kind of money at one time, me having that kind of responsibility. It was a new thing, and it was challenging. I'm not telling you that it's not going to be challenging. I'm not even telling you that you might not be fearful at the onset of the Father saying something to you. You will be. You know, Gideon, we got all kind of people. Gideon was one. He's like, hold on, you can't be talking to me, Gideon, thou man of valor. Excuse me? Who, me? You know, I'm over here by the wine press threshing this wheat so that these fools, these Midianites, Amorites don't bust. You know, I'm trying to protect our treasures. I'm trying to protect something so we can have something. And you follow me, a man of valor. He didn't see that's an insignificant thing again. Do you see what he's doing? He's preparing things for people. He's a leader, and he doesn't even realize his leadership. He doesn't even realize it. And when the Father calls him what he's doing, he's confused. Because he's just doing a thing. Because this is how he's led. This is who he is. But he doesn't see what he's doing as leadership. He doesn't see it. You know? But it is what it is. It is so. He says, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Now he went from shaking in his boots. Get your feet off that wall. He went from shaking in his boots, trying to explain himself to the Father as not being this valiant man, to being one that overthrows all of the altars, these diabolic altars, and becomes a contender of darkness. So much to the point that they changed his name to Yerubbaal. Now, what is that? It's one that makes fun of Baal. He's an opposer. He says Baal ain't nothing. So they put his name in his name to let you know he's nothing. Anybody can have that name. He's minimal. It's the same thing that the Father did to the Egyptian gods. They're nothing. Matter of fact, I'm going to display how nothing they are. I'm going to create a whole bunch of things that are identifiers of those gods that you serve. Frogs, you know, life, you know, blood in the water. You know, I'm going to deal with the water because I deal with these water gods. You think that they are something. I'm going to deal with Pharaoh, that word Pharaoh means big house. Pharaohs are seen as gods. And this is why the Father said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a god to Pharaoh. He like, I'm going to show you that it ain't what it is. That ain't what it is. I know that's what it looks like, but that ain't what it is. You know, I've given my sons authority. And if they are not functioning, I've given all of mankind the same authority, but not everybody is using that authority for well, for good. Not every son that I created is using authority from a righteous place. And so this is where we are. Father's desiring to take us to some places, but it's going to be the sons that are going to rise and roar in this moment. They're going to rise to the occasion and begin to actualize all that the Father has put in them. You know, I love it. All right, I got to get out of here because these folks, they're about to start stirring. Listen, I got to give you some grace, granny. Is this okay, baby? I'm on the radio still. I'm about to get off, okay? I'm going to say hi to the people. Say good morning, people. They can hear you from across the world. Say good morning. Well, don't talk on my radio show then if you're not going to say good morning. I love y'all. Listen, the body is not a me thing, it's a we thing. I'm excited about what the Father is doing with us, through us, for us, and to us. We're being changed. We're being changed. We're in a season of change, and we're going to need to move with what the Father is speaking so that we can actualize that change and become all that He has purposed us to be. We're going to move in that way, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for revelation and understanding of this becoming place that you are calling us into. We thank you for trust. We thank you for faith this morning that you are increasing us in the way of faith. You're increasing our capacity to understand and to identify based on things that you've already done. Let us go back. Let us remember. Let us recall. We call for supernatural recall now of all of the things that you brought us through, of everything that you've already done and said you would do. We thank you this morning that in that place of recall, we will be refreshed to know that in this season of your call, that we can answer and we can move just like you're saying, and realize that the provision is there, the protection is there. All we have to do is put legs to it in this season. And so we're thankful this morning for what's ahead of us, for the doors that are opening. We are thankful this morning for the provision that's already been made that we are coming into contact with. We thank you right now that as we are being faithful over the little things, over the small things, you are making us ruler over many. Your whole purpose for our purpose is to rule. Your whole purpose for our person is rulership and dominion and management of the things that are in the earth. And so we're thankful today that you're making us managers. Proverbs 10:22 says the blessing that you give makes rich without the sorrow, minus sorrow. There's something you're calling us to that doesn't have any sorrow in it. We're done in our own way. We're done doing it our way and having our own way because that's caused us so much sorrow. But we're looking forward to, we're excited about and have an expectation for this place where no sorrow with it is our discussion. That's our outcome. No sorrow. In other words, not only are we comfortable in this place, but we are certain in this place. So we are not afraid. We're not terrified or anything, Father. We're not sad, but we understand that there may be a fight, but it's about our future. That fight is about our future because we know that you've called us to this place. And so we're thankful today for that assurance. And we believe this morning that as we are rising and roaring, that the earth will hear it and the earth will respond to that thing that you have put in the sun. There's going to be a response in the season, and things are going to begin to move. Even as you have shown, they are going to begin to move at a forceful tempo at a forceful pace. And so we're thankful this morning for that. Thank you for giving us what we need in this hour. We're thankful. We're not going to complain about what we've had to do, but we're thankful that you've allowed us to do it. Thank you for what you've given us and what you've made us capable of in this season. Thank you for the provision. Thank you for the protection. Thank you for all that you have already done. We call it so. We call it so. Our place of thankfulness and not regret. Our place of thankfulness and not complaint. Our place of thankfulness and not question. We're just thankful today. Hallelujah. Doors are being opened and we're thankful for it. We love you and we give you praise. And it is so. Listen, we'll be on tomorrow, I believe, at 8 a.m. with the King Ambassadors here. And we'll be sharing with others just to share and expect them. Kind of put those things into practice, the things that were spoken this morning as you're listening from over the world. Put those things into practice. Have an expectation and allow the Father to give you that expectation. Identify with the through prayer. What is the expectation that I should have? And remember that the servant of Elijah went down to the water to identify, but he couldn't identify because he thought it was insignificant. There are things that the Father is speaking to us that we cannot see as insignificant in this season. You know, one of the things that he said, come here, leave that alone. One of the things that he said to me the other day, and I want to leave this with you guys before I go. Come here, Carlito. You better be very mindful of where you are when everything that is unfolds. The Father has a purpose and a plan for why he's saying what he's saying. So he's trying to position us for that purpose. He's trying to position us also so that we'll be prepared to contend. It's like you can't contend on ground or on turf that's not your own. So I use the example of the snake, right, and the eagle. On the ground, the snake has an advantage. But in the air, he has no footing. He has no balance. He has no ability to do what he does. That's the eagle's territory. So you need to get in your territory this morning because in your territory, you're going to be protected from the snakes. You're going to be protected from the slithering thing. The thing that could choke you out, the thing that could cut you off, you're going to be protected from that. But in your space, in the space that he's calling you to, and for the sons, that's up. You know, up in your thinking, up in your identification, up in your mentality. I'm not talking about going up or yonder. You know, we know the song going up or yonder, right? Nice. Okay, but listen, I ain't talking about that. What I'm talking about is coming up in your thinking, coming up in your mindset, coming up to the place that the Father's calling you to because it's in that place that the adversary has no footing. He has no footing. I'm telling you, be very mindful of where you are. That's why he kept saying, be mindful of yourself. Be aware of yourself. Be mindful of where you are and where he's calling you to. Because if you wind up where you're not supposed to be when things hit the fan, you're not going to have that protection and that provision. It's just not, it's not in that place. I'm going to give you one more person to prove what I'm saying. He said the word is for reproof, for instruction, right? For correction and righteousness, right? Elijah is at the brook. He was told to go there. A lot of places we weren't told to go that we wound up, right? And he's saying, this is the place I'm calling you to. Elijah's at the brook. The brook dries up. The ravens stop feeding him, but the Father has given him his next assignment. Go to Zarephath, you know? So when you're in the place that the Father has called you to, he will make provision for you. And a lot of the provision that you're looking for is in the assigned place. It's in a place that he's called you to, not in a place that you are. And so this is why we have to become. That in that becoming, we're moving from where we were to where we're going, where he's calling us to. And that's the place of growth. That's the place of maturity. That's the place of responsibility as well. You know? It's a place of great responsibility. I love y'all. I hope you got all that you needed this morning. Because it's the thing that's keeping me in season. It's the thing that's keeping me in a place of peace. I had a headache for a little while yesterday, just thinking about all the new things. And it's, you know, when you're being stretched, you're going to have some issues in your muscle groups. You're going to have some issues, right? But you got to identify what you're dealing with and keep moving. Got to keep moving. I love y'all. Peace to your house, Prophet. We'll talk tomorrow morning. We will talk tomorrow morning.
Love you.
Love you more.